AM 950, the Matt McNeil Show. Good to have you with us. Good to have as well. Caitlin Regenscheid is kind enough to join us. Pints North, Minnesota's Craft Beer Culture is the name of her book. She's kind enough to talk about craft beer in Minnesota and how it is on the rise. Caitlin, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, my pleasure. Now, I find this very interesting because the history of beer, and I've talked with other authors who have specialized in bars and breweries. The reality is what you're talking about, really, I almost want to say, is a revisiting of the traditions of Minnesota, because when the immigrant populations came here, one of the first things that each one of these towns had was their own little brewery, which made a very unique regional beer that just over the years we kind of lost touch with because a lot of those disappeared. I mean, that was really kind of the original beer culture of Minnesota.
Yeah, we've definitely seen, you know, over the course of centuries, this change in the market, you know, going from all these little small towns having their own breweries to breweries consolidating, and then, you know, swinging back now to all these towns getting their own breweries again. And, you know, you have Prohibition in the middle of that, which definitely threw a wrench in the natural ebb and flow of the market.
Well, and not only that, I mean, Grain Belt beer, I remember going out and seeing the Grain Belt beer signs everywhere you went. But when I was a kid, when I was starting to get older, you never saw Grain Belt beer. That still was a very, you know, it kind of had gotten the large companies really did a number on all those small breweries. So they themselves created the need for, you know, craft beer in Minnesota.
Yeah, we're so lucky here to have this long history of Minnesota craft beer, and especially, you know, we even see that with Shell's Brewery being as old and established as they are and how much they've adapted over the years. And I think their story tells a lot of the story of the history of craft beer, you know, surviving Prohibition and making gardens in order to get through those leaner years.
The Minnesota, it seems like, was a little late coming to the craft beer scene. Is that a false statement? Because I know that, like, Washington, Wisconsin as well, a lot of states had already kind of really developed, and then it kicked into gear here. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, overall, I would say that's a fair assessment. And a big part of that is really just what's legal to do in each state. So as homebrewing was legalized in the nation, it took Minnesota a little bit of time to adapt to that. And then, you know, growler sales being allowed at brew pubs and even brew pubs being allowed, those are all legal steps. So it's not necessarily that nobody was interested in doing it, but you weren't exactly allowed to do it. It wasn't necessarily a financially viable model because we weren't allowed to have tap rooms here in the state for decades after homebrewing was legalized and got people interested in craft beer as a hobby and potentially as a career.
Was that just because I know the guy that wrote the Prohibition, he wrote it in St. Paul, the guy, that legislator, he wrote that bill in St. Paul to make alcohol illegal. Is that why was Minnesota so, I'm frankly, backwards when it came to alcohol laws? Whereas, you know, only, like I said, you mentioned in your book, only recently we started Sunday sales in the state.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, and a big part of that is people, like the temperance movement and the way that religion also intersected with that. You know, Minnesota just had a lot more of the folks on the other side of the fence who were far more interested in temperance than they were in, you know, the evils of alcohol, and the movement was just especially strong here, and there's some really fantastic historians writing about that and conducting interviews about that as well.
So we finally get to a point where, you know, you can start making craft beers again in Minnesota. You can start getting them sold. You can start opening tap rooms and stuff. Where was it, do you feel like this really started? I mean, you yourself are just an aficionado of this. I mean, your bio talks, you've been to every tap room in Minnesota. You've put in the time. You know, where did this really begin? Where did the idea that this is something that's viable, which breweries do you think were on the front end of this?
There were a small handful of breweries that were operating just as production breweries prior to the tap room bill passing, and you know, they really whet people's appetite in Minnesota for craft beer and what local craft beer could become. But then you also have those very first breweries that open their tap rooms after Shirley, who is mainly attributed with getting the taproom bill passed. So you had those few operating production breweries, including Shirley, Castle Danger, Shells, and the taproom bill just wasn't taking off until Shirley really put a lot of their weight behind it, and their fans put a lot of their weight behind it. So I would say that really kicked off the big explosion in the market, was that taproom bill passing and it becoming financially viable for a brewery to open and not have to invest all that cash into canning and bottling equipment as well as distribution.
Why do you feel yourself? What is it about craft beer that really drew you in?
It was really the people. The product is fantastic, and there's definitely a lot to be had there, but I don't think that craft beer is just about the product. I think it's about the whole experience, and that's why people love going to the tap room so much. And I think that's why the tap room bill is really what made craft beer explode in Minnesota, was because of the social aspect of beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is something that it's late to the game, but my gosh, the market was there. You know, having spent a lot of time in rural Minnesota, and you go to these towns, you know, a tap room, you know, and a craft brewery is a draw, and it's nothing against. And this is not a shot against the old mom and pop bars that dot the horizons across rural Minnesota, but it's just, you do have this. I don't want to say cultured population in Minnesota, but definitely a population who's willing to go beyond a Bud Light or a something that wants to go beyond that. That is not good enough, in as much as that they put out there. It does feel as if the community itself generated the interest in the tap rooms and the small breweries.
Yeah, I think a really big part of that is this growing desire to support local, to consume locally produced products, and to support your local economy that way. And I think, you know, in the last decade or so, we've really seen that push. And you even see that with, you know, platforms like Etsy really exploding recently. Mm-hmm. People want something that is handmade, that is where they can be close to the production of whatever they are consuming, whether that's beer or, you know, something that a craft that they bought online.
Mm-hmm. I'm once again, joining us right now is Caitlin Regenscheid. Pints North is the book, talking about craft brewing here in Minnesota. We should be very honest that, you know, there, if you are getting into this because you think this is not going to be a lot of work, I mean, everyone I know that has a brewery or works in a brewery, this is an insane amount of work. The crafting, the time, the effort. This is not something that, you know, if you've really got to be committed to be getting into this business.
Yeah, that couldn't be more true. I mean, it's really upfront, the costs are huge to open a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's really tireless work. I mean, brewing beer itself is physically a really demanding act. And then you have all the other parts of the business beyond just the craft brewing that oftentimes people don't necessarily think about when you go sit in a tap room. You're not thinking about someone doing the accounting and the payroll or ordering the malt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really intensive business to get into, but the people are extremely passionate, and like I said earlier, that's what I love so much about the industry. You aren't going into this for the money, so mm-hmm. It has to be for the passion, and you really see that come out in the people in the industry.
I want to mention as well, we do have to talk about the agricultural aspect of this, because it seems as if, and when I'm driving out in rural Minnesota, I believe there are hops that are growing. People are more that are growing hops. I mean, it does take, if you're going to do this industry, you do have to have an agricultural side that is providing the base materials you need to make the product there. Was that a bit of a problem when the craft brewery started up?
So beer is made from four ingredients, hops, water, yeast, and malt, which could be, you know, malted barley or some other type of grain. And, most often hops are not going to come from Minnesota. You can definitely grow them here and brew with them here in the Midwest, but it's a lot like wine grapes, where you're going to find them more out on the West Coast, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. So that can definitely be a challenge, but as far as I know, people haven't necessarily had a difficult time coming by those ingredients. Now, as homebrewers were starting up and there wasn't necessarily a lot of access to that, homebrew shops, you know, were one of the very few places where you could get those types of ingredients. And if there's only one or two in the state, like, you're driving to go mm-hmm. get those ingredients. You can't just go pick that up, you know, at Home Depot or at Cub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a difficult business. You've got to understand the idea. And I mean, for a lot of these guys, I know the people that do home brewing. I mean, it's years of perfection trying to get the flavors and taste right.
Yes, and you will find just as much passion in home brewers as you will in the craft brewery business owners. You know, it's a hobby, but it's hours and hours and entire weekends in the garage or in the basement, putting your heart and soul into that product. And people find a lot of pride in that final product and sharing that with their friends. And I think that really captures the heart of what this industry is about.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't have someone who is an expert like yourself at craft breweries and tap rooms to ask you about some of your favorites here. In the state of Minnesota, what are your favorite craft beers right now?
Oh, that's always a hard question. I mean, the best beer is the one that's in your hand, right? right now, you know, I'm really into stouts as the weather is getting a lot colder and I just want to settle in. So I love to drink any kind of stout coming out of Bent Paddle. I think they do some really fantastic work. They have a coffee stout that does everything I want in the beer. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, you know, always fall back on something like a Summit EPA. That's standard. It's classic. It's the same every time you drink it, which is a feat in itself in, you know, in craft beer, achieving that level of consistency.
It's interesting because it's not just the beer though. The taproom experiences are there ones in taprooms around the state that you really are like, I mean, if you want the full experience, this is the place to go.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, every taproom has their own quirks and their own charm. And, I love going to ones close to home. I live in Minneapolis. So getting out to Minneapolis and St. Paul, I think, you know, Barrel Theory has a really fantastic cozy tap room in the middle of, you know, downtown St. Paul. I think they've
Barrel Theory. Something great. I'm writing these down as we go. Barrel Theory. All right. In St. Paul.
And, you know, if you're willing to head out to outstate Minnesota, we'll always be a fan of the Portage tap room. It's like going to your cabin. It's just absolutely beautiful. And their tap room had actually burned down in a fire, and they were able to rebuild it. And just about a year later, reopen their tap room and had extended their patio, which is fantastic, being right on Leech Lake there. But indoors, it still just feels exactly like heading to a cabin in the North Woods.
Well, and I mean, I was stationed in Germany in the military, and what you describe, and this is just the evolution of it, is the same thing that happens when you go to France in the wines. You go to a town, and they've got this little winery, and it's really cute, and they've been making wine for 300 years there. And you get it, and you're having this wine in that area, and there's something incredibly ethereal about that, where you basically are, this was meant to be here, with me here, enjoying it here. And when you get that full experience, I really think that those are the best kind of places to visit, where you feel like it's not just a beer at a place. It is, you know, it is a craft beer designed for you to enjoy here on, say, Leech Lake.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with that. And I think that's, you know, what made me fall in love with this industry was the fact that I went to every tap room in Minnesota. So it's not necessarily that I loved it so much that I had to go, but that, you know, those two things played off of each other, where the more you go and the more you do the thing and the place where it's meant to be done, the more you fall in love with it. And, you know, I had an experience at Revelation Ale Works in Halleck, Minnesota, which is like the farthest northwest corner of the state possible. And sitting at the bar in there are more Canadians sitting at the bar than there were Americans. And we were all able to sit there and chat and meet these people I never otherwise would have met. And I think that's just a testament to the fact of, like, yeah, I can drink a Revelation beer here in Minneapolis, but that's not going to be nearly the same experience.
Mm-hmm. Are the Canadians, do they suck at having tap rooms? Is that where they're coming into our state now?
Well, I mean, you know, Revelation is making some pretty good beers, so I would drive a couple hours just for that.
No problem. Bauhaus is one that we've actually worked with here at the radio station. I'm a big fan of theirs. You've got a nice little chapter in the book about them.
Yes, Bauhaus has an absolutely iconic tap room, and on top of that, some really fantastic events that give people these associations and memories with their brands that go far beyond the beer, and I think that's really something fantastic that they've accomplished that is unique to craft breweries.
But it does bring up an interesting point. As this develops, are there fail-safes within the system to prevent what happened the first time when the initial immigrants came here and started their own breweries and they eventually got bought up and consolidated? I mean, there comes a point. You talked about Shell. They seem to have very intently not tried to take over a large part of the market, although I imagine they probably could if they wanted to. And there are other small beers over the years, especially Wisconsin beers, where they've just basically just start buying out everyone else because they just look at it more as a capitalist venture. It's more of a, you know, if they're drinking someone else's beer, they're not drinking mine. I mean, do you think there are fail-safes in the system to prevent the craft beer culture in Minnesota from fading away?
You know, I don't necessarily know if there's anything in the system, you know, that's codified literally, but I do think that there's a big attitude right now that is supporting local and independent businesses. And you're seeing that, you know, with the Brewers Association, the national level association for craft breweries, they created an independent craft beer seal that they encourage all their members to put on their cans so that when you go to the liquor store and you're looking to support an independent brewery, and they, you know, define that really specifically, you can look just for that seal on a can and know that you're supporting someone independent. Whether or not it's local to you, that's your own thing to decide, but at least you'll know that you're supporting an independent craft brewing business. And so I think that's something that's built in this general, like, fierce desire to survive and, you know, to make it through even, like, the economy that we're in right now with all the shutdowns for craft breweries.
Mm-hmm.
That attitude is going to be hard to get rid of and to buy out.
I worked at a liquor store when I was a kid, and we actually specialized in a lot of smaller beers. And there was a tremendous amount of pressure from the big producers to kind of scoot them off the shelves and put them on there. But just stay with that, because you're exactly right. People look for that label. They want the small independent breweries. And that's how you sustain a system.
Definitely. And you know, we're really lucky to have such a vibrant scene here in Minnesota to be able to support.
Well, it's a wonderful book. How long, by the way, did it take you to go to all these different tap rooms?
The project took a couple of years to visit all the tap rooms, and then took a year off to write the book. And now, you know, a couple dozen more tap rooms have opened, and I got to get my car and head back out there as soon as they can reopen.
Well, off we go. We got things to do here. It's a wonderful book. If you're a fan, if you've got someone who's a fan of beer, by all means, especially the craft beers and the tap rooms here in Minnesota, it's a must-get book. Pints North, Minnesota's Craft Beer Culture. Caitlin Regenscheid is the author. Caitlin, I really appreciate the time. Congratulations on a wonderful book, and all my best in the future.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.